fields of bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Hi, this is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news.
And I'm Dan Dugan, the other guy on the other side. WGRN, the Green Renaissance.
You're listening to Bob Petrakis on the other side of the news. WGRN 94.1. Also, listen to it on WCRS 92.7 and 98.1. Three. In the studio with my cohort, colleague, co-conspirator, Mr. Dugan, Danny Dugan.
The other guy is back after a little hiatus.
You were in training, though. You did let me know you were in training for St.
Right.
Paddy's Day.
Oh, of course. Of course. You always have to train for that. You can't just naturally be Irish and absurd and Catholic. All three are necessary.
Well, because they're all intertwined. You got St. Paddy's. You got Lent. Have you given up the creature for Lent?
The creature is gone. Yes, I've done away with the creature. If I only knew what the creature was, but yes,
well,
whatever that bad beast
well,
is.
Well, Spencer Tracy was once asked whether or not he had a drinking problem.
Oh, that problem!
And he said,
"The creature." Yeah.
For 40 days, once a year, I give up the creature to see if the creature's got a hold of me, or I've got a hold of the creature.
There you go. Well, that's great. Thank you,
but
Spencer
Tracy. In your case,
Tracy.
I'm probably referring to marijuana.
Oh, maybe. We're not going to comment on that. No comment. I'm pleading the fifth. Maybe Cohen should have pled the fifth a few more times. Or Jim Jordan should just be quiet, maybe.
Jim Jordan.
A guy who likes to call other people liars, and we know where he came down on the side of the OSU pedophilia case. But I digress.
That's right. But you know a lot about wrestling.
Yes. And if I were in better shape, I'd take him on. I really would.
I'd like to see that. Fundraiser
Although,
for the Free Press.
He can't fit into a sport coat and I can. So I don't know how that would work out. But we are actually here to talk about an admission on the part of a politician who was the Secretary of State for a while and was a candidate for president back in 2004. So you want to turn the clock back and discuss...
Yeah. Go ahead.
John Kerry.
Yeah. Who Fox News said was French, even though he was an Irish Catholic.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. There we are again.
John Kerry, 9/6/2018. Mr. Kerry told Brian Lehrer on WNYC on the Brian Lehrer show that he believed the election in Ohio was stolen in 2004.
He's finally...
14 years later.
Right. Something that Dr. Petrakis here has been telling the world for, well, since then, since the election night of 2004.
And he says, we now know the computer voting machines,
right,
are hackable.
Yes, and there are more and more states that are adopting these, right, these untraceable machines, correct?
Right, and Kim Zetter... writing in the New York Times Magazine on Sunday, Magazine 9/26/18, goes into detail of Kerry's admission that he now believes his presidency, if he'd won in Ohio, he'd have been the president of the United States.
Yes, sir.
The war in Iraq would have been wound down quicker. We wouldn't have the longest war in history, U.S. history, in Afghanistan. And who knows, as we'll talk a little later in the show, maybe we would have universal health care.
Oh, my goodness. It would be a much better world, and perhaps we wouldn't have this crazy knucklehead, this Cheeto that's cheating us all in charge. But would you care to elaborate on the 2004 elections in Ohio, remind us all of some of the aberrations?
Well, I wrote a book,
right,
based on what happened in Ohio, documentary history of theft and fraud. They did a lot of things. It's like I feel now I co-wrote a how-to manual.
Yeah.
Sometimes I regret ever writing it.
Yeah, good
everything
job.
In the book, like in Cleveland, young Republican types showed up working for Karl Rove, Mighty Texas Strike Force, and picked up all of the ballots to take down to the Board of Election from nursing homes. The problem is, Daniel, they never made it.
Ah, wow. Imagine that.
But this is the same thing they used in North Carolina.
I was just going to say
where they're having the first do-over in 40 years in a congressional election.
Right. That which they continued to warn us about. It was perpetrated by their own in North Carolina,
Election fraud. What happened in Ohio, if you get a chance to read it?
This being International Women's Day, Robert, maybe we should begin to discuss what's going on in Congress right now concerning the Muslim representative who apparently said some mean things about Israel.
Well, I don't know if she said anything mean about Israel. She said some things about Zionism.
I'm being a bit sarcastic as well.
Yeah, right.
So,
yeah.
All right. So, but anyway,
to give credit to Jewish Voices for Peace and Bernie Sanders, who, says, look, you can't conflate anti-Israeli policies with anti-Semitism. Is that everyone has to be open to the dialogue. And the oddity of all this is a tremendous, vigorous dialogue in Israel itself.
Sure, there is. Absolutely.
The tremendous marketplace of ideas and people from, the left and the right.
Sure.
But you can't forbid that since in the United States, since we're, in fact, the country that finances, to some extent, their military program.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, to a large extent.
So, these questions of loyalty oaths, et cetera, all of that needs to come up. But I think it's also a question of style, right? That the question of, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and some of these younger women that have been elected, they're very progressive.
Right.
And they're really in conflict with, Nancy Pelosi and the older line leadership.
Yeah, and Pelosi is now there is some sort of statement that has been passed or it's being passed that is to address anti-Semitism and racial attitudes. So it's an anti-racist statement as well.
And they sort of backed off that a little because – the question was, what about Islamophobia? Okay, so let's denounce anti-Semitism.
Right, and homophobia.
And
so
homophobia.
It was a general anti-hate statement.
And also the question of hating people who are Muslim and Islam because of their religion as well. So now it's being delayed as they work out the details.
Right, so that's to be the statement to bring the team together, so to speak, right? Is that where
it's headed? And also you've got memes going out, particularly by the Republicans, that are attacking AOC, Alexandria there, Ocasio-Cortez. Yeah.
And the two Muslim representatives, right?
Right, and making in AOC's case, they're making her out to be an airhead. So one of the most articulate members of Congress
is under
massive attack.
So, right.
And every time I hear her talk, I mean, she sounds like, she's
sounds
a
very
scholar,
sure.
Academic, intellectual.
Yes.
And they're trying to say, she's an airhead.
Right. And I certainly wouldn't hold it against her that she worked in a bar not so long ago, because I see that as an honorable profession. So it is amazing that as we discuss, Women's Day and the modern era of women inequality, there continue to be these old school tropes that are used to attack these young women who are speaking their minds.
Absolutely.
Right?
And again, working in a bar, where would John Fitzgerald Kennedy, named after the legendary Honey Fitz,
there you go,
who ran a speakeasy in the Boston area, where would he be? But anyway, that's for another show, and we'll be moving on shortly to Bob Crazen, the issue of health care in Ohio.
Which is something everyone should be ready to talk about,
indeed,
or at least listen to. Thank you.
You're listening to 94.1 WGRN, The Green Renaissance, also playing on WCRS 92.7 and 98.3. I'm here with Bob Crazen, SPAN Ohio Columbus Area Coordinator, and he's talking about health care for all. How do we get there, Bob?
Well, it's not going to be an easy trip, but it is worthwhile. Oh, I'd like to start with talking about how hard some people have, and many people have, with health care costs. I had a conversation today with a man who I know very well, and it's the first time I ever heard him say that he went to a hospital and he didn't find out until after he was discharged and got the bill that it was out of network. And he ended up with a $25,000 bill.
Well, he was out of network.
He was out of network.
Whatever that means.
Whatever that means, exactly. I am here to promote health care for all in Medicare, the Medicare Act of 2019, that has just been introduced in the Congressional House. It is H.R. 1384. Remember that number, 1384. And it is one terrific bill. You know, I learned in sales many years ago that the most important thing you sell are benefits. You always talk about benefits. How does this benefit you, Bob? How does it benefit you, Tim? How does it benefit us? And the benefits of H.R. 1384 are just terrific. It will pay for 100% of necessary medical care for life. So in other words, everybody who's born in this country gets Medicare for life.
But that would be just like every other country in the world.
You got it. Exactly. And in fact, it's better than other countries in the world. If this bill passes the way it is, Canadians are going to be very jealous because they don't have dental care in their package. They don't have pharmacy care in their package. And so this is out-of-pocket expenses for them. So this is a better bill than Canada has. And I would say it may be the best plan in the world. And maybe comparable to Taiwan's. Taiwan's is recognized as the best in the world right now. But anyway, so what am I saying about benefits? Well, the benefits of this bill, as I said, cover all necessary care. So what's necessary care? Inpatient and outpatient care. You go to a hospital, Bob, what happens? No bill.
Ah.
No bill.
I thought that was only at St. Jude's.
There's all preventive care covered. You go see your doctor because you need to have, what would you have? What's a good thing to have?
What's a bad thing to have? Cancer. It's when you really need the health care.
You go for a cancer screening. It's included. Emergency care. You run into somebody on the freeway and you're bleeding. And what do? Well, they come and scoop you up and they take you to a hospital. And but you know today what happens?
But I thought the emergency care was the age-old stratum of the core. If your kid gets really, really sick because you can't take him because you don't have any health care, then you wait till he's so sick you rush him to the emergency room.
Well, that's what happens now, and this would be a much better solution to that. So emergency care is covered. Primary care is covered.
Preventative care.
Preventive care. Specialty care, any kind of specialty care you have. Vision. In other words, you need to have your eyes examined.
Well, I do.
And your hearing tested. You see, I'm wearing hearing aids. I wouldn't have had to pay $4,000 for these. That's pretty amazing. Dental care. That's one of the crying needs in the state of Ohio is dental care.
I believe it.
You know, there's some 88 regions of the state that don't have a dentist available. Kids are not able to get dental care in those parts of the state. And it's not all in the country. It's in the cities, too. Right here in Columbus it is. Mental health and substance abuse. We don't have any of those problems, do we?
Well, no. There's no opioid crisis and no problem with people in stress and tension and
all of that. Exactly.
Yeah, we forgot to build those community mental health centers. So
exactly.
Yeah, we got all sorts of problems.
And there is prescription medications. You know, I'm a type 1 diabetic, and I'll tell you a story. When I became a diabetic in 1982, the doctor said, well, I'm going to start you on human insulin. This is a new thing, but it's more expensive than the pig and beef insulins that we've been using. Those are $6. This one's about $13.
Whoa.
And he was apologetic for saying that. And he said, well, don't worry. When the manufacturing processes get improved, the price will come down. Well, guess what? It has never gone down. It
and
has never gone down.
In some cases, it's gone up astronomically.
And currently at CVS, if you go price it retail, it's $332 a vial. $332 a vial. And I go through a vial in about 22 days. So figure it out. It's $500 a month. Medical equipment and supplies. I wear an insulin pump, and so that would be included. Diagnostics and treatments. You know, if you needed a treatment that was orthopedic of some kind.
Sure, make sure your feet are okay so they don't have to part people out, which Cuba does a great job in this area. Virtually no amputations. They've developed a way, but that's socialized medicine from the government.
Exactly, exactly. I had a friend of mine who died as a result of a foot injury and was diabetic, and I don't have to go in any further. Another one that you'd never guess is in this program, in this bill, is long-term care. Long-term care, meaning that any kind of care that's needed for somebody who is not able to care for themselves will be covered, whether it's inpatient in your home or whether it's in an outpatient facility, in a nursing home, whatever, long-term care will be covered. Currently in our country, it is covered, but you have to spend down all of your income until you get to a certain level so Medicaid will cut in. This is an improvement.
You're living in abject poverty.
You are in abject poverty, and you are then able to get on Medicaid. So all these things are included as benefits. Everything is in here that you would ever need as essential. Things that might not be included are beauty treatments, getting your hair regrown, Bob, or I should talk about Bob having no hair. This Bob's got no hair either. You know, those kinds of things will not be covered. But, you know, what's necessary is what we all focus on anyway. That's what's important to us. Now, there are benefits, too, across the board for providers. For providers. You know, the people who give health care.
Mm-hmm.
We think that those people make a lot of money. It'll be very hard to satisfy them. But on the other hand, they wouldn't have to spend, 10% to 15% of their time playing "Mommy, May I?" with the insurance companies. They spend a lot of time on the telephone talking to somebody who is working in a phone bank at an insurance company, trying to get approval and permission to do certain treatments, and that costs them time and money. They're not able to see as many patients. And they're losing money while they're doing that. And then they can't even give the patient the treatment that he wants to prescribe anyway, because they always say, oh, you got to try the cheaper treatment first.
You're listening to Bob Crazen on WGRN 94.1, also broadcasting on WCRS 92.7 and 98.3. We're talking about health care for all.
And that means all. Everyone who is here in the USA. The other benefit for doctors is that they wouldn't need as much administrative help because they're dealing with one insurance policy and not 1,000 of them.
So you've got 1,600 insurance policies you've got to deal with. I teach at Columbus State. We teach essentially medical billing, medical technologies, huge growth field. I once went to a Congress, congressional hearing, and later went to an academic conference. And there was a doctor there from Denmark, and he said they have one biller for 100 doctors
exactly
in his country. And here we're one-to-one.
Well, and you know that the same thing would happen in hospitals. The new Ohio Health building that's been built over the – what is it called? A pinball ramp out by Riverside is built there for 1,300 administrators. I wonder if there's 1,300 beds in the Columbus area in the hospital system in Columbus. So for doctors and in hospitals, this is a great benefit to be able to cut, you know, someplace around 20% to 30% of their cost.
And these are administrative costs.
Administrative costs. The other place that doctors will benefit is being able to see more patients. You know, they would probably be able to see 10% more patients, and so they would get, and every one of those patients would be a paying patient, if you will. They would be getting paid for those patients, so that's a benefit for doctors. So there's a lot of benefits for those who provide the health care. There would be benefits for business. You know, I did HR for a short period of time, and it was absolutely maddening to do a contract with a insurance company for healthcare for this agency, and get it all done, and then I'd have to explain all the benefits and costs and everything to these people, and it wasn't 3 months later that I would have to start the process all over again. So it was every year a new contract, and reading these contracts was pretty much a job for an attorney. Because I couldn't separate the apples from the oranges in these contracts, so companies wouldn't have to do that again. Companies would have a set amount of money that would be paid each year for healthcare. You know, they would just have to write a check for their employees or checks over time for their employees and pay this bill. You know, I have to say that Medicare itself provides a good sample of how well this would work. You know that the current taxation for Medicare, which is 2.9% total of what employees pay as well as the company pays, has been in place since, do you know when, Bob?
1936.
Oh, not too far off. 1986. Oh. So 33 years, it's been 2.9%. And during that time, Medicare
so not the act itself, just the last time it was raised?
Last time it was raised was 1986. So you can be sure that year-over-year prices are not going to get expanded rapidly. Yes, there's new technology. Yes, there's new improvements. There's new drugs and so on. But the prices will not go up quickly for cost. The other.
But speaking of cost, is what sort of economic impact is this going to have on the state of Ohio? Aren't people going to say we can't afford this?
Sure, they're going to say that. But, in fact, I say to people, take your health insurance bill and cut it in half, and that's about what you would pay for Medicare for All. You're going to pay about half what you're paying for insurance, copays, deductibles, out-of-pockets. It's going to be half as much. And the people who are going to save the most are the people who are poor, the small business owners, the corporations that have been providing health care for their people already. Those who are going to be hit the hardest are those who have not provided any health care for their employees at all. And I think all the time of Walmart, which has never paid for much insurance, and all those people are falling on Medicaid right now. So for business and big business and small business, this will be a boon as well. They will also have a competitive advantage overseas with companies that do similar kinds of things because they won't have the high cost of health care that they currently have to carry. When you think of public entities, like you teach for a university. So how much does your university pay for your health care?
A lot of money. I have no idea, you know, thousands a year, even when I'm, you know, not using it. But luckily, they do have some preventative. They make you go down and take the yearly physical.
Well,
and give you benefits if you do healthy things, but it still costs. But if you don't do healthy things, they sack you with a huge copayment.
Well, and because they have farmed their insurance out to others, or if they are, what is it called, self-insuring, They're being administrated by one of the insurance companies, and the insurance companies are taking out 15% to 17% right off the top to administer this for the public entities. So for colleges, universities, schools, other public entities like city government who have garbage collectors, they have police, fire, water departments, and all those kinds of
and
services.
And speaking of that, it's the police and fire pension fund that's losing all its benefit and creating such a huge uproar in Ohio.
And that takes me right to retirement systems that wouldn't have to worry about health care any longer, because it would be a given in the country that they could actually provide a larger benefit to their to their retirees, because the benefit is paid for. If you think of labor unions, what is their big problem? Their big problem is that they have to give away any raise they get in exchange for health care coverage. Mm-hmm. So they never, in fact, get a raise. That would end because they would no longer have to negotiate health care. It would be provided. If you go down the list of all these providers, it is no question that this is an amazing, amazing bill that people really should have. And when we have it, it is going to be out of sight.
Again, if you want to hear more from Bob Crazen, he'll be giving a presentation on Medicare for All at the Free Press Second Saturday Salon. That is tomorrow night, Saturday, March 9th. The salon runs from 6:30 to 11. And Bob Crazen will speak at around 7:30 at the salon at 1021 East Broad Street. It's free. No RSVPs here. Bob Crazen, make a crazy case for health care for all.
Hey, call. I want you all to call your member of Congress. This is my last plea. Call your member of Congress and say you want this at 1-202-858-1717. Be sure you call and say this is what you want. You'll be connected to the representative of your zip code. So call 202-858-1717. Thank you, Bob.
All right. Thank you, Bob Crazen. Healthcare for all, my brother.
Yay.
Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, The Green Renaissance.